climbing up endless flights of stairs. That's what I call a fun video game. I am Brooklyn Zed, and once upon a time, I climbed up all 59 flights of stairs. And with me today, my co-host Adam did the same thing. Adam, how are you after leg day?
Oh my goodness, I am exhausted. We had to keep stopping halfway through. Bear was throwing little temper tantrums to get up there. It was, oh my God, it was exhausting. You did not undersell the sheer quantity of stairs that I would be climbing.
Yeah,
I sort of doubted you a little bit because I was like,
I know.
There's just no way this game is gonna like make me like that. There's
there
just no way.
There can't be more stairs than there were climbing up to the pillar, but there were. Yeah, I was in a state of disbelief when I played this part of the game. I was like, we're gonna really do 59 flights of stairs? We think that's a fun video game? Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. You know, I thought you'd get off the screen. And it would, like, reload, and it's like, ta-da, we're at the top.
Yeah. A prime, place to put, I don't know, a cutscene. Gosh, of montaging the run up the stairs. Because, Zed, I will say one thing in the game's defense. That was probably the part of the game that I did functionally the best at. overall, I was able to climb those stairs with basically no problem, which is an absolute win compared to everything else that happened.
Yeah, you did save yourself a lot of fights by doing it that way.
Okay.
But it is tedious, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of stairs.
It's a lot of stairs. And I think you get like one item halfway up, and that's
there's
the entirety
like
of your reward.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah, it's really nothing.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it at the time. You keep saying, I wish this was a cutscene. And I think part of the reason that it's not is just the amount of data space that they had to work with. Like, this was already a 3-disc video game in 1997. And let me tell you, when I put in my memory card on my PlayStation 2 to play this game last year, it was an 8-megabyte memory card. Megabyte.
Oh.
Not gigabyte. Megabyte.
Okay.
So that's the amount of data we're working with here as compared to my phone that has 128 gigabytes of storage.
Mm-hmm.
They get excited about their FMVs, their videos, but those take up a lot of space.
They
so
certainly
as much as possible. It's like,
how
you
much space
walking.
Are we allotting for stairs, though? Like, could we have just cut that out completely, too?
Probably.
Like, we really, I mean, if we're trying to save space,
It's character building for Barrett, you know?
Is it?
I love his little tantrums. I was like, let's go. Come on, Barrett. Get over yourself.
I didn't mind the tantrums. I did mind just, like, the random usage of the R word by Tifa while we were climbing the stairs. That kind of, like, threw me out of nowhere. Of course, we were, like, 42 flights in? And so at that point, I was, like, I was just desperately trying to skip all of the dialogue as we were going fast because I was like, oh, my God, why are we stopping again?
Yeah. I just want to run. Let's just keep going.
I just want to go.
Yeah. No time for talking. We'll be here forever. And you kind of will be there forever.
We were there for a long time.
Uh-huh. But eventually you do make it up to the 59th floor, I think. You want to talk me through your time at Shinra?
Okay. I spent a lot of time going through each of these floors because, you know, I assumed that every floor or every room or even every person like had something to tell me that was somewhat
important.
Lots
of little nooks and crannies to check out for sure.
There's a lot of little things here. I think 59 was probably the boring one. Because I was just like talking to a couple of people who just like haphazardly handed over a key card to get up to the next floor. Didn't really even seem remotely interested in like double checking who I am or if I'm here to like bring down the entire organization. They were just here you go. You want to go up to the next floor? Fine.
You must be the new guy. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, of course I am.
Uh-huh.
I'm new guy McGee over here. totally coming in fresh. So we got up there, which was good. But then we had to take an elevator up after climbing all of the steps. Like, why could we not have just gone one more? Why did the stairs end there? We get these fancy floors up here with no stairs and only elevators, but except they also have stairs. It was a very confusing situation. But yeah, so we the 59th floor was fairly uneventful. We got up to the 60th floor. This is where things like started to get weird, because I think this is where we split up, right? Where we have like the random group split up.
Well, this is where you have to sneak past the guards.
We get the we have to like hide behind the bushes or whatever.
I don't think I've ever successfully done this.
Really?
I think I've just done it the amount of times you have to do it before the game takes pity on you and is like, okay, you're across.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay, maybe I am good. See, this is the kind of thing that I was saying right at the start of the game. I was like, I'm good at this kind of stuff. Like, I want more of this. This was like a one-time journey for me going through
that
portion of it. To be honest with you, Zed, I kind of thought that at the end they were just like, okay, you can go whenever. Like, we don't really care. Like, we're not going to stop you here.
Oh, no, I promise you. They will stop you, and you will hate your life for a long time like I did.
Did they, like, make you go all the way back? What did they do?
Yeah. You have to, like, start the sneaking over.
Oh, you have to start the sneaking over. Okay. You don't have to, like, start the climbing of the stairs.
You have to keep sneaking. And even if you've made it to the middle and everybody's made it to the middle, if you mess up on the second half, you still have to go back and do the first half over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I spent a long time there.
It was just like when they were moving, you could go, right? That was
kind
the idea?
Of something like that.
Okay.
I definitely judge it based on if they're facing you or not, but I don't know if that actually matters. Like, if they're walking towards you, you'd think they could see you, but maybe I'm trying too hard and that's making it harder for myself.
I don't know. I just did it whenever they were moving. I just went. And so that was
good enough.
It did the job. Yeah, it did the job. I don't know why I was controlling everyone. Like, both bear, like, everyone has eyes. Like, you know, they can see when the guards are moving. I don't know why I was in charge of all of that situation, but whatever. So that was the 60th. We didn't, like, do much besides that. We just went into the other room on the other side. And then we found more stairs to go up to the 61st floor, because there were certainly not enough stairs in this building.
It's a tall building, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It is. It's very tall. I don't know that it, like, needed to be that tall. And then this was the other floor, where we just basically talked to someone. I think I didn't do this right the first time, because I think I said the wrong thing. But I don't remember what exactly happened. But eventually you just talk to someone, you get a card. Like, it's that simple on some of these floors. Honestly, Zed, that was one of my biggest takeaways from this Shinra building, was that some things could not possibly be easier, and some things could not possibly be more convoluted and hard. Like, there really is nothing in between on the spectrum of difficulty.
And the next floor coming up, the research library, where you're going to meet the mayor, my man, Mayor Domino, is certainly one of the more convoluted floors.
I spent forever trying to do this. I really did, because we got up to we finished the 61st floor, no problem. I was like, okay, we're flying up these floors. How many do we have to go here? Like, how many floors could they possibly be making me climb here? I got to 62. I was talking to the mayor, and he was like, oh, yes, of course you could get up to the next floor, except you have to solve my stupid little riddle and go look at my books in the library. And if you can solve that, we'll let you go right up, no problem. And so I did. And so I did. I went through all four of the libraries. I paid off the guy. It was like selling me secrets or like clues to the thing. I kind of wish he would just tell me the answer for like being paid off. I feel like if you know and like you're willing to take money, I don't know what we're hiding here, but whatever. I paid him money to get clues in terms of how to find the clues to solve the puzzle. And then I proceeded to spend at least 15 minutes going through all the libraries, like looking at all the, you know, different signs. I didn't realize at first that there were like multiple shelves on each thing mm-hmm. to go back and forth because the graphics didn't make any sense to me. And it just took me absolutely forever.
Yeah. It's a lot because also you have to realize that you can read the signs outside of the sections to know what the category is that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. I remember I did not know that the first time. And I was like, okay, well, one of these things is not like the other. I don't know what category it's supposed to match, but I'm just going to try and find the one that doesn't seem the same as the other three and hope mm-hmm. that that's right. I guess some letters and but then all the words that are your possible answers mostly have the same letters anyway. So it's like very tricky.
Yes. Yes, they do. I believe that my answer, what was it? I think it was bomb.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's always the same or not because the,
I have no idea.
The walkthrough does not say what the answer is. It just says, this is how you get it, and then unscramble those letters and go give the answer. So I don't know if it's always the same. Yeah. I have no recollection of what the answers were when I did it, and I've done it three times.
Yeah, so I think my answer was bomb, and then we got there.
Mm-hmm.
It was very... annoying is probably not the right word, but it's like close to, it's like close to the right word. It's really going through it was very tedious just like yes. going through because there was such a rush to get up into mm-hmm. the building. We were scaling those stairs like our lives depended on it. We were like yeah. going up as fast as we possibly could, and then we basically just like took a 15-minute library break right in the middle. And so like if there was really urgency here, we would be like threatening the mayor, we would yeah, be like right? holding the guarded hostage, like
if
we're
only
not
we
afraid.
Had a guy with a gun for a hand.
Yeah, like we're not to afraid to battle anyone and everyone at all times. Literally, we could not be less like worried about getting into a combat situation, and yet with this mayor we're like willing to sit here and play a stupid little game for 20 minutes. Like mm-hmm. what why what is the point?
Yeah, puzzles for children,
I guess.
I don't know.
Is this like a fun puzzle? Is this indicative of like a fun Final Fantasy puzzle here?
In 1997, maybe. This is the thing. A lot of this stuff, you know, you and I can only look at with a 21st century lens because we did not play them in the 90s. And even Josh will say, like, I have other things I have to do with my time now, you know? I am not a child sitting at home. There, we have the internet. Mm-hmm. We have all the streaming services, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, maybe there was nothing on TV and you had 3 hours to dedicate to a video game mm-hmm. after school. Not the case anymore. We have other things that need our attention. So I think that impacts it in some ways, whereas perhaps 25 years ago, they want to spend more time drawing out the action, as it were.
People were just trying to kill time back then, is basically what you're saying here, right?
Perhaps.
They're just trying, like, we gotta throw away a couple hours. How are we gonna do it? Let's do it in the library.
I remember being a child in the 90s, yeah. I spent a lot of time in the actual library.
Did you do a lot of, like, what doesn't belong? Like, go
through
all those
things. No, I think
the
books were pretty well sorted back in my
day. Okay. Well, they were clearly not sorted here, although intentionally, I guess. I don't know. The relative benefit. That's the other situation. I'm like all down for a puzzle, basically always. But what, like, the mayor is intentionally misplacing books so that someone could hypothetically come in and figure out the passcode to get up to the next floor. Yeah. I don't know. The logic of it is sketchy at best.
Yeah, it's true. We should say, actually, today, as we are recording this, it is Thursday, June 16th, and this is the 25th anniversary of the release of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh.
There is some sort of celebration stream that Square Enix is doing later tonight, but I will be at work. But yeah, so happy 25th birthday, Final Fantasy VII. You continue, your legacy continues on here in the year of our Lord 2022.
Year of our Lord 2022. hopefully we're doing it justice. Yeah. I really would doubt that we would get mentioned on the stream this evening, but in our hearts, you know?
People are podcasting about this game 25 years later. So you made it through the library, you got your password, you got your key card, you head up to the 63rd floor, you get another puzzle.
We get another puzzle. This time, one that I just like did not do the correct way and said, it's fine.
This one's not super important, really.
I got to, so that we were like going through all the air ducts, we were going around. I think I took the wrong path right at the start, because you got to open three doors, I think it was. And correct. So I basically went down and then all the way to the left, and I opened three doors to get into the room that's on the far side. Mm-hmm. And so I got in that room, got a coupon of some kind? I got something in there.
Yeah.
Which we're hiding coupons in whatever.
Anyway, the vending machine.
For the vending machine, naturally.
Because Japan.
Yes. And so I found the coupon there, and then I hopped into an air duct. Oh, sorry. We went to the place first that told us basically to not get in the air ducts. I forgot to mention that part, despite that being basically the only way you could go.
Usually if a game tells you not to do something, you should definitely
do it. Yeah, it's going to happen. And so I got into the air ducts, went into the other room, got another coupon, and then got back into the air ducts, and then it plopped me out back where I started. And so I just redeemed those two coupons and called it a day.
That's pretty good. Yeah. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I'm assuming there, of course, was a way to get all three.
Yeah, there is.
At this point, I was like really concerned that I would never get out of this building. And that we would just be podcasting about like these floors for hours and hours.
Yeah, one at a time. This week on the Final Fantasy podcast, we talk about floor 63.
There was like a very real concern. I was like, okay, I could keep trying this, but I just spent 20 minutes going library to library looking at this. So like, man, I don't know if we all have the collective time for this, for me to do that. And so I just got the two and called it a day and got some items. I don't know what I missed out on, but you know.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
I tried. I gave it a fair go, I think. Mm-hmm. But then we got up to floor 64. It kept going. I still didn't know how many floors there were. Seems like there's a lot of floors in this building, despite the fact that I already climbed a lot of floors.
Yes.
I'm really thankful that we didn't have to literally do like 64 of these puzzles to get up to the top, because I feel like there was a world where that happens. And I'm glad that that's not what happened. Okay, and so this was a big floor. There was a lot going on here, but also not a lot going on here.
Yeah.
I did talk to everyone and everything.
This is like the gym, the company gym.
Yeah.
It's on this floor.
The company gym that is wildly inaccessible to everyone in the building, because there's just, it just makes no sense why this gym is on a higher floor than the president of Shinra, or the mayor. It just makes no sense, but whatever. We got into the gym. I think I took a nap here in this gym. So things like really, we were not in a rush, despite the fact that we were previously in a rush. Because if we have time to just lay down and sleep, then
there's a save point. You can take a nap on like one of the yoga mats, rest up, get all your HP and your MP back if you've been doing any fights, which you weren't.
it's true.
You can search through the lockers in the locker room.
Did not do that. I didn't know that I could. It was the other thing. So I'm like, I always talk to the people, go in the doors, like look around a little bit, but I don't just like go and spam the X button on every little thing or like every locker, trash can or wardrobe or whatever. Although I have started doing that more at the end of this.
Yeah.
we'll talk through that later, but I've started doing it a little bit more, but at this point I was just like, okay, we have to keep going. Yeah. Like it's going to take a million years.
But there was no puzzle at a future point, and you'll be able to go through the lockers then. And there's something there that you could find, but not actually get now, that you can, that will be of use potentially later, depending on how you play the game.
Okay. How cryptic. And then we made it up another floor, floor 65. The floors just don't stop here in this building.
That's right.
Where we had the model of Midgar. We had the large scale model right in the beginning, and a bunch of just random pieces that were haphazardly missing in chests scattered around that apparently no one realized needed to be put back in the situation for basically no reason at all. It was a it made not a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's not a lot of logic if you think about it too
hard. Yeah, someone was like playing with the toy and then it broke, and then they hid the broken pieces like a child would, trying to hide it from a parent, but they hid it in very obvious places that were clearly marked by a treasure chest.
It is always a little bit like, what are these chests in the world of this game? Because you go into, they're in caves. Why are they
all over the place? Yeah.
They're in people's houses and you just walk in and take their stuff and leave.
Yes.
There's not really anywhere where it makes sense for the chests to be, but that is just the mechanism of how the game gives you stuff.
Here's the thing. This room also frustrated me a little bit because I could never get it. I could never position myself in the exact right place to like put the piece back in. I would always be slightly off and it would just like tell me about the thing. And then I'd have to move slightly and then put, it was very annoying how long I spent here. And then for some reason, there were just random battles on this floor. Like we had not had random battles before on the lower floors, but on this floor apparently we have started doing random battles, and so I fought like some vacuums or snakes or something.
Some vacuums or snakes or something.
Yeah, I have no idea what they were called.
Oh man, okay.
But we're back to random battles here. And so like, I'm trying to be so efficient with my routes, and then it would take a million years for me to put the piece back in. Then I'd have to go back out and go to the next piece. But I got it eventually. I think I only had to fight like four things on this floor, which was a lot, but
enough.
It was plenty.
Now because we're going to head up to floor 66, where things are going to get interesting.
Well, interesting is a word that could be used here. I would say creepy is probably closer to where I come down here.
We're doing some corporate espionage.
We're doing some corporate espionage via climbing through the bathroom and getting in the air vent. I think I said this on the last podcast, but there are some like scenes, or I guess I'm going to call them maps, that they like have you walk through that for the life of me, I cannot figure out why. Because it is just like you're going from one side to the other side and you're always going to go in the other direction. Like it just makes no sense to me why we have invested the time and money into producing a map of this tiny little bathroom air vent for me to hit the down arrow for like 3 seconds while I go to the next thing. It just makes no sense to me.
It's a way to be sneaky.
But nothing.
You gotta listen in on the meeting, Adam.
We did listen in. We did listen in on the meeting, which was, they just shared a lot very openly in that meeting. They didn't seem much interested in like pretending that they were doing something other than like being awful and terrible.
Yeah, and then these are all the higher-ups at the center of the being awfulness.
And then they were like, what was the one guy who was really upset because he wasn't getting any of the money? It was going to the other people. I don't think he's even that important, but that was
Is it Reeve?
It might be. I'm so bad with names.
It's all right.
Yeah, so one of the guys was whatever upset. They were talking about who gets all the extra money they're gonna give, and they're gonna take down Avalanche, yada yada yada. But like, I think most importantly, they were talking about going up to more floors because, of course, We couldn't be done here at floor 66. We had to have more floors to go up into.
Yeah. Well, we came here for the president of Shinran. We're not leaving till we get to the president of Shinran.
We're not leaving till we get there. You think we could have climbed a few more floors before we got off, but alas. I also talked to everyone on this floor because I didn't like know where I needed to go beforehand. And then every single person talked about the bathroom. So every single person on this floor talks about the bathroom in some capacity.
Yeah. It's causing a lot of people some distress because it smells bad, right?
Yes. Which still doesn't. Yeah. Like, what a weird. Like, talk to the first person who's not even close to the bathroom is like, hey, that bathroom smells awful.
It's been a consistent issue, clearly.
And it's like, first of all, you don't even know who I am. I'm like here to, you know, ruin this entire place. But yeah, bathroom is brutal.
So now things are going to get really interesting as we head up to floor 67. The plot thickens.
It does. We get to this little doggo here. We meet they keep calling him the specimen, who's in the, you know, whatever glass cage or glass, whatever.
Yeah.
And we meet the specimen. And then I also think this is the place where there's like this big vault door that has, what is it? Genova, written on it that we don't really know what it means at that point yet, but,
correct.
Me, Cloud, have like a conniption
yes.
when we walk up to the door for some reason.
Yeah, there seems to be some connection between Pia, Cloud, and Genova.
I think my favorite thing, because this is not the first time that has happened where I've like freaked out about some kind of thing like that, Barrett's reaction is always like, get up, Pia, what are you doing? Like, stop freaking out. Just get up. Barrett is really hardcore in these types of situations, but really not when it comes to climbing stairs. He likes to throw a fit then.
Yeah.
Now it's about someone else. Can't handle it.
I love Barrett. And in the remake of this game, I think Barrett is my favorite character.
Oh, okay.
The way that they do him in the contemporary version of this game is incredible. I love the way that he talks. I love the way that he like doesn't take shit from anybody. He's like, no, get it together. This is what's going on. We're gonna do this. And he gets pissed off about stuff, and he gives like rousing speeches to the troops. Wow. Remake Barrett is awesome. And it gives me a greater fondness for him here in the original game to know how they have him play in remake. So I'm a Barrett fan.
There you go.
But yeah, we've gotten here to the specimen and we've sort of seen the Genova tank, for lack of a better word. But we're going to head up to the next floor.
Yes, we do head up to the next floor following this professor who was there before. I think his name was Hojo,
yes.
Who ran off to the elevator on the other side. And then we followed him. We followed him up to floor 68.
Yes. Yeah, we've been following Hojo. We're in Hojo's lab. This is where he conducts all of his various experiments. And you're going to do a boss battle with Cloud, and it will turn out the specimen's going to join you, and someone else, either Tifa or Barrett, will do the fight with you, and the other one will go protect Eris.
Yes, I chose Barrett to fight with me. I don't know what I was like, so I don't know if there was a better or worse option there, but I gotta figure like a guy with a gun for an arm is like gonna be pretty good in this situation.
Yeah, sure.
I was not expecting the dog to come fight with me. That like definitely threw me quite a bit because I, you know, whatever, it's the specimen, and I was like, okay, that's what we're gonna fight, right? Like, of
it's
course,
definitely presented to you as a threat for sure.
But then we fight with the doggo, and we take down what is it, the sample?
Yeah, with a bunch of numbers. You know, we're in the lab. It's some experiment, something with, some numbers and letters. Nothing particularly special.
Yeah, nothing crazy. But killed it pretty easily with all three of us.
Good.
There were, like, some other stuff there, but I just ignored them and just fought the thing in the back and, called it a day.
You'll usually come to learn in these sorts of fights that if there's a big boss guy and then little stuff in front of it, very often, if you get rid of the little stuff in front of it, it'll respawn those things. So unless the little guys are really causing you trouble, it tends to be the best point of attack to go for the main guy the whole time. Because otherwise it has tricks up its sleeve, usually.
It was basically no problem there. And then, like, we ravaged the floor after that. And then we just bullied a guy into giving us a key card to get up to the next floor. Because, good God, there are not enough floors in this building. We had to keep going.
Yeah. But Red 13, as you will learn his name is now part of your party.
Yeah. Like I said before, a little surprising. Certainly did not expect that to come out of anywhere. He hasn't appeared in 14, so I, like, you know, had no idea that was a thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we get the doggo. I didn't rename him, but I probably should have, because I have just been referring to him as the doggo ever since.
That's fair. That's so fair.
You know.
Yeah. In Remake, he will introduce himself as Lab Rat Dog. So that's fair. Yes. So now we are headed up to floor 68 for those of you keeping track at home. But first, before we make it to floor 68, we're going to run into some people. Well, we're going to go take the elevator to try and get up to 68. And in the process, we will run into Rude and Seng of the Turks.
We get more Turks going on here. This is another fight, right?
The fight happens in a little bit, I think.
Oh, this is not the fight in the elevator that I'm thinking of.
I hate the elevator fight, but that's a little later.
Yeah. What? This is just a, what is this, a Stern talking to?
Yeah, basically.
Am I remembering this right? I think I might have just blocked this part out from my memory because it was so unimportant.
Well, they go put you in prison.
That's what it was. They put us in prison, and then we have the awkward waking up, and I have to talk to everybody. Like one by one, and then both Antifa and Aeris get jealous of each other because I'm in one of the rooms, and it's a whole situation there.
Listen, we didn't pick which room we were going to be in.
Yeah, I had no idea which room I was going to be in. It's not our fault, but whatever. They're that's still like their main storyline here, which is unfortunate. But we get put in prison, which is we were able to kill everything else, but the given here is that we just get captured and taken, and we didn't, like, fight this one through.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Uh-huh.
But we get, whatever. We get put into prison. We have to wake up. We get everybody down there. And then, the doggo gets really upset. The doggo does not want to be in prison anymore. He's done. So when we wake up, though, everything has gone to mayhem.
Yeah, everything's bad.
Like,
things
it's all
very bad.
Brutal. There's blood everywhere. There's dead bodies. I have to, like, go out and inspect it. And then even though the door's open, I have to, like, basically drag Tifa with me to get through the door because she doesn't want to just go. And then, like, one by one, we have to, like, free everybody. We steal from the dead bodies, have, like, the cards to the prison. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, like, giant trails of blood basically throughout the entirety of the map at this point.
We have reached the point in the game where you follow the blood trail. Always good advice to follow the blood trail.
Maybe not in real life, but
This is the point in the story where Josh did casually bring up on the podcast that one day he and Emily had recently followed a blood trail. And I was like, excuse me? That is quite a sentiment to just bring up casually in conversation.
Yeah, I would maybe not follow the blood trail. Unless it's like, no, there's not a lot of exceptions here. Yeah. I was going to say maybe if it's like your own blood, but that like is, you know, you're still. Yeah. Yikes. I would almost say avoid the blood trail at all costs. Like that's, you know. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to follow the blood trail.
But we're going to follow the blood trail because that's what we do. Pia is much braver than Adam is. That's for sure. And so we follow the massive trail of blood as it leads up and up and up. There's a save point here on floor something.
69.
On floor 69. Nice. This save point is going to be very important. I'll bring that back up later.
Yes.
Thank God for that save point.
Games of this era, you tend to know if they're like, here, have a save point. You're like, oh boy, something bad is coming. Yeah.
And then we get all the way up to floor 70. Reminder, we took the stairs up to 59. We have now gone through like a dozen floors here.
Correct.
To get up here. Correct. Feels like we could have gone a little bit further before we hopped out. I don't know. But we're here on 70, floor 70, and the president is dead. Mm-hmm. We didn't even do anything. We did literally nothing except go to the library for a long time and take a nap and get captured. And the president is dead with a giant like steak or sword or something sticking out of his back.
Giant sword sticking out of his back, yeah.
Dramatic. Pretty dramatic here.
Yes. This is an iconic sword. The sword belonging to, they believe, Sephiroth.
Oh, I've been saying that name wrong. Okay.
But there is no Sephiroth to be found.
No. Wow. I'm really going to have to work to say. I've been saying Sephiroth. so I'm going to have to like really try hard here to say. I'm really bad with names.
Incredible.
And then we go through the door. We also, I forget, is this where we split? Because we have like a split, maybe it's up a little bit further, but we have a split party situation coming up here.
Because Barrett, Eris, and Red 13 are going to go while Cloud and Tifa stay to do this fight.
Barrett, Eris, and Tifa go.
Oh, or maybe you get to make the choices. No, Barrett, Eris, and Red 13. But I can't remember if you get to decide who stays and who goes. But you definitely want Barrett and Eris in the elevator for the ranged attacks on the most miserable battles.
Yes. Okay. Maybe that's correct. So allow me to just tell. So we have two battles here, right? So we have like the big elevator battle as they're going down. They're fighting some robots. Mm-hmm. I think I wrote this down because this was so frustrating. I had Barrett, who was great. He could reach no problem.
Yep.
I had Eris, who couldn't. I had not at that point equipped materia to her such she had ranged attacks. She could heal. I had restore, I think is the name, or cure or whatever on her. So she could heal. But I didn't have any sort of like magical attacks on Eris. And then I had the doggo with me at that point, who also does not have any ranged attacks that I had on them at that point.
Yeah.
They were still new to the party. I hadn't made any adjustments. I did time it starting probably 5 minutes in because it was just taking so long and I was sort of in disbelief. This was a 23-minute fight. because the sequence of events was Eris couldn't reach, the doggo couldn't reach, Barret attacked for 50 damage.
Yeah.
That was a whole round for me.
Yeah.
And it just kept going and going and going and going. And then we finally killed the first thing. I was like, oh, thank God we're done.
And then there.
And then there's another thing. And again, it was Barret for 50, Eris for nothing, Doggo for nothing. On and on and on and on. And then this is where it gets worse, because after you win, after you beat that fight, because they're going down in the elevator, but Pia is not satisfied with this stupid little twerpy son of the president's answers up here. He wants to fight.
Yeah, Josh Wiggler style icon, Rufus Shinra.
Rufus! I have written
Josh wanted to dress like Rufus for his bar mitzvah.
Oh.
And so he wore a white suit for his bar mitzvah to look like Rufus Shinra.
Did other people know that that was what was happening?
I don't know. You'd have to ask.
Or was that just like... Okay.
I mean, this would have been like the year or the year after the game came out, and it was an extremely popular game at the time. But I will personally say I have seen pictures and I do not think that there was a strong resemblance between the two.
Okay. Well, you know, live your truth, Josh.
That's right.
Is all I can say to that. I was not living my truth, though, because when I when I got back up to that second fight with Pia and Rufus and what's-his-face up there, I got wiped almost instantly, and it wasn't even close. He used, like, a couple bolt attacks, and I was just dead. And I cannot even tell you the amount of defeat that I felt after going through the 23-minute fight below on the elevator, and then having all of that be completely wiped out in, like, 45 seconds to Pia dying up there. That felt really bad.
Did you get to then put materia onto Eris and the doggo for the next time around?
I did. I'm not gonna lie, I still kind of don't know what I'm doing in terms of like who should be getting what, or because that was also the first time that I had fought anything that like had some kind of barrier in the middle where melee attacks couldn't hit. Yeah. I didn't really know that was going to be a thing.
That won't happen very often, but every once in a while you'll get like a flying enemy that a melee attack cannot reach.
Yeah, we had never had that before, so I didn't even know that was like a thing in the game that I could encounter. But I did, you know, I equipped more of the materia. It still was kind of like an arduous fight, but they were able to do damage, and so it certainly went quicker than the 23 minutes that it took me before.
Yes.
And then the other thing that I did was I put on some kind of necklace or amulet or something on Pia, and it helped a lot. I don't remember the name of it. Pendant or something.
The star pendant that prevents poison.
Something like that, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was.
A talisman too is another thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it did some work, and eventually he just ran away, which was fine because I was done with that fight. And so we won, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
More or less.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't feel like much of a win.
Yeah, so Rufus is going to escape in his helicopter. Mm-hmm. Let us not forget that Shinra has helicopters before some plot points later in the game take place that make no sense because Shinra has helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're going to go back to the president's office, save your game, and get ready to make your escape.
And then we just got out of there. I was so excited because you kept telling me we were going to leave Midgar, and the characters were finally talking about leaving Midgar. So I was like, okay, we finally done it. Of course, I'm like 7 hours into the game at this point, but whatever. Like, we're finally about to actually do it. And we go down, whatever, all the way down to the lobby. We take the elevator down. It took me a long time to realize which floor I had to get on the elevator on. But whatever. We got all the way down. There's something really sobering about going through probably 7 or 8 random encounters while you're trying to find the correct elevator to go down. Whatever. I'm not very good at this game. It's fine. We get down the elevator into the lobby and then we get out of there, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Except the way we get out of there is, of course, on motorized vehicles.
Yeah.
In a mini game-esque style. Let's get out of here. Which was kind of fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I thought that this game went on forever.
Oh, it took its time. Yeah, it certainly did not have any issues taking some serious time.
There's like fundamentally 2 mechanics to the entire game, and yet it still goes on for like 6 minutes.
Yeah, it does take a good while.
And let me tell you, in remake, it is not any shorter.
I thought it was like kind of fun getting to punch people off their bikes and, you know, they made little explosions. I have no idea if I was like doing good or bad. It just kind of just kept going. And so we got through and then we got to the end eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get to fight this motorball thing, which also exists in remake, this giant tank like vehicle that has been set to destroy you.
Yeah, it's a little baffling how it's able to like get there. You know, we were going pretty fast, but you know, it's okay. I thought this was an easy fight too, because at this point I basically had lightning equipped to almost everybody. Yes. And I don't know if it actually matters, but I've sort of found that the lightning against the metallic type creatures is...
Anything that is a robot or that is some sort of metal creature, lightning is going to be good. I don't recall that there's a specific way in this game to really figure out the weakness. Oh, I think there's like a sense materia you can find or buy, and you can use that to learn the stats and the weaknesses of the enemies. I never use it. If it looks like a machine, I use lightning. Otherwise, I just kind of hope for the best.
Yeah. You know, Bolt is all reliable there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we beat the giant tank. We get to the edge of town, which is simultaneously a bunch of dirt and also a road that leads to literally nowhere, a la the bus that takes off in Sky High to get to the school there. But you know, we're able to get out of Midgar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this road that never got finished. Yeah. And now, at long last, you are leaving Midgar. You've been told to go northeast to a town called Calm. And then you're going to meet up there after you've split up your party.
I was so excited, Zed, to get out of Midgar. I was like simultaneously really disappointed in myself, but also like really proud that I had actually made it to this point. And so we got out of Midgar onto this, kind of clunky world map where I'm just like trotting along like it's nothing. And so we got up to Calm. I was excited to get into a new place and see what there was to see.
You got the standard. You got a pub. Every town's going to have a pub. You got your shops, your inn.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And we just went right into the inn. I don't think I did any kind of exploring beforehand.
Okay.
Because I think they said to meet in the inn, or it was the first building that I saw. And so I just went in and found people I knew. So
it's both where you're supposed to meet and the first building you can go into.
Okay. Yeah. So I just went right in. I went right in and then proceeded to monologue for ages about my own backstory to apparently anyone who would listen.
Yes.
It was really long.
Mm-hmm.
They did not spare a lot of details.
They're giving you all the backstory on Cloud's life and what he's doing here.
I did manage to get all the way through this, which is, again, I didn't know exactly how much it would, because I had to stop halfway through because it was just taking so long and I had like other things to do. I have the couple questions or important notes that I have I thought it was cool that they let you go in and sort of like play through it.
Yeah, as it's like an interactive memory. Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. I simultaneously thought it was absolutely ridiculous and stupid that we were getting into combat while I had like 10 HP and Sephiroth. Did I get that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
that Sephiroth was like going through and attacking things for like 3,000 damage, but it was just like a random encounter. Like it was,
yeah.
there was like one, I think we fought like a big dragon or whatever that knocked mm-hmm. me out and like he destroyed it quickly. I don't know that we needed to code in like random encounters to this playing
well,
through of
so
the backstory.
So all that's really, what that's doing is it's showing you how powerful Sephiroth is
yeah.
and how wimpy little Pia was when mm-hmm. first he met Sephiroth, and that this is why he idolized this guy and wanted to be like him, because he was like getting knocked out right away by a creature that Sephiroth himself could one shot. So it's just a little story battle.
I liked that part. My complaint was only about like the random encounters that would happen as we were like walking around the cave. Because I liked the dragon. I thought it was cool to like get to go in and interact with the backstory. That was an interesting mechanic that I don't think I've seen in a lot of other mm-hmm. like situations. I don't play a ton of games, so I guess it like could be, but I'd never like heard of that being something. Nor did I expect it to be a thing here. So I kind of thought as I was monologuing, it was going to keep, you know, just telling the story as opposed to me playing through the story, which was cool. And then there were some other elements that I actually really did enjoy. When we got to just sort of like explore the town and explore mm-hmm. Explore the city of my own hometown.
Yeah. Nibelheim.
That was very cool. Mm-hmm. I probably did a lot of things for longer than I probably should have. The most.
Did you go play the piano?
I spent so long on that piano.
I bet you did. Yeah.
I went into her house. I was just like, did you go in my room? And I was like, well, I see a piano in there. So like, yes, I did. And then I probably spent 10 minutes playing the piano. Just
it's
like,
really fun.
It was very fun. It was really good. I have no idea why that is part of the game or why they chose to put a playable piano here in this like playing through of a backstory in a character house that I didn't even have to go in. Mm-hmm. But I really loved it. That was a ton of fun.
Eventually for Josh's birthday, I played Happy Birthday on this piano and I filmed it and I sent it to him as a video last year.
I love it. That's really good.
Like the stupidest, dorkiest thing I could think of to do. Yeah, no, it's super fun to play the piano, and that will come back later. I'll tell you when you can access it if I can remember, but that is eventually how you get Tifa's final limit break. Involves playing a certain, I think you have to play the world map theme on the piano, and that will unlock her final limit break.
Oh,
much, much later in the game.
Wow, how exciting!
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wow, we love to see it. Okay, yeah, and then the only other like interesting thing I have here, we got to like figure out a lot more about Genova through the telling of this backstory through the ancients or the Cetra, mm-hmm. Ketra, whatever. Although Genova looked like a big bird right when they revealed. Yeah, and so, you know, Sephiroth is created by the ancients here. We're discovering this. And then Pia just kind of like didn't remember anything else at that point after he got knocked out and Sephiroth destroyed the entirety of the town, like burnt everything to a crisp.
Yeah. Yeah, you come out and the whole town is on fire.
It was
not great.
Yeah, not great at all. Like really, really not great. yeah, just kind of out of nowhere too. All the buildings are on fire. Everyone roughly seemed to be okay. That was going to be in my future adventuring party, which was, I guess, more of what I was concerned about. But whole town's on fire. Thanks to Sephiroth.
Yeah.
one of the ancients going through, destroying villages. Not a good guy.
Although not a good guy.
Pia idolized him. Not great.
Yes. Yeah. So we have gotten that backstory. We're ready to leave the inn. You will be provided with a cell phone, essentially. The PHS. It stands for something. It's like the party something system. I don't know. And now you are free to split up your party and change it at will, more or less. At save points and on the world map.
Yeah, I don't know like how much this is supposed to be used, or if I'm like supposed to be sharing XP with more people in my party and trying to split it in a more equitable way, but
who knows? It's really up to you. There are occasional points in the game where you'll have to have specific people in your party for certain story points. but for the most part, you get to determine who you want in your party at any given time. So it won't matter too much. And I think they won't level up quite as much as the people in your party, but everybody will gradually level up somewhat. So it's not like you'll have, if you play with the same two characters, they'll hit level 50 while others are at like 22 or something.
Okay.
There'll be a few levels behind, but they won't be, you know, they don't just sit there dormant if they're not in your party.
Okay. That's good to know. And then we get the final thing that I was able to do. We probably should have said this at the start of the podcast where I got up to, but we got the final thing that I was able to do, which was to catch a freaking chocobo.
Yes. So you went to the chocobo farm.
I went to the chocobo farm. I talked to the dad who said, oh, not me. You have to talk to my son. Whatever. I get over there. He's like, oh, I have no chocobos for you, despite this being a chocobo farm. You need to buy this thing for like a billion gil.
Yeah, the chocobo lure materia.
Chocobo lure materia. Oh my god. Is that this just like emphasizing how bad I am at this game? After I had then, so I bought the lure, I bought some greens or whatever. Mm-hmm. I went out, I spent so long trying to figure out how to equip this materia to someone, because I didn't remember that it was materia. And so I like kept going to items. I kept going equip. I was like clicking on everything. I had like taken everything off of everyone and then I had put it back on everyone. I was like, how much space do I need for this? Like, how do I do this? And then I probably got, then I was like, okay, surely it's just equipped. It's fine. It'll be no problem. I got into, I probably did like 15 battles.
Ooh.
Or just like, why won't a chocobo appear? Like, I know it's not going to appear every time, but like, how many? And then I finally like,
how many?
Like thought about it and was like, okay, I should just click on this materia button. I like clicked on all the buttons and I was like, oh, Adam. And so I equipped it. And then of course, the chocobos kept running away.
Catching a chocobo is infuriating.
It was hard.
And if you're gonna do all the things like I did all the things, you will be breeding chocobos.
Oh my god.
And that will involve catching many chocobos.
Yeah, it was a lot more difficult than I think it probably should have been. And I certainly didn't make it easier, but the chocobos kept running away, or every time I would use magic, they would get spooked and just, sometimes I would like have attacks that I was just like attacking on the other people, but then like the other creatures would die.
So
then they would attack the chocobo. Like, we're trying to catch the chocobo. How does Barrett not understand that we need to be catching the chocobo?
Mark,
brilliant. Mark. Yeah. Mark. Oh my god. But eventually I got a chocobo. Of course, the next thing that I did after I got a chocobo was go trying to go to this mine or whatever down below. And on my way there, who should I run into but a stupid giant snake?
Yes.
The snake decided it was time to party, and goodbye chocobo, goodbye Pia, goodbye entire party. And back to calm we go.
Oh no, you didn't save outside the farm?
No, I didn't save outside the farm. Zed, you can't. Oh, my, this was the other thing, because I was trying to just like be done after I got the chocobo. Once I got the chocobo, I was like, okay,
Yeah, but you can't save on the chocobo.
I can't save while I'm on a chocobo, but the second I get off the chocobo, it runs away! Like, we can't tie a rope to it or something? You're telling me we're able to, like, burn down reactors with bombs and explosives and all this technology, and we don't have a rope? It makes no sense why the chocobo just gets away. So I can't save while I'm on the chocobo. And so I was like, okay, whatever. I'll get down to the mine. And then boom, we're out there playing Snake in the marsh, and I lost. The snake got me, and boom, we were done. Back to Coleman. Yeah, so I had to go back through the whole process. Work of getting a chocobo. It was very annoying.
Yeah. So that is the fabled Midgar Zolom, the giant, that giant snake in the marsh. And the idea of having the chocobo is you can cross the marsh faster and ideally uh-huh. outrun the or avoid the Midgar Zolom, which I have tried to do on foot just for fun after. Like when you come back to this area way later in the game, I just like to see if I can run across. I never can. But later it's much easier to defeat the giant snake. But at this point, obviously the whole,
it was not happening.
It is huge and dangerous. Yeah.
It was over at that point.
I recommend as you move forward through the game, saving outside of every town you go to before you enter it, after you leave it. So anytime you can save your game. That's not going to help you in terms of having to re-catch a chocobo, because you, as you said, you cannot save when you're on a chocobo, which is infuriating to me. But that is why we have stopped right outside the mine. I know, I got across the marsh and I was like, okay, but if I get off, it's just going to go away and then there's no turning back. And that is where you're at. There's no turning back.
Can't
you've
get back.
Released your chocobo. You've saved outside the mine.
And we're stuck there. No going back to the chocobo farm. Midgar is inaccessible at this point. So is Calm. Mm-hmm. It's all mine from here on out.
Yes. You will be heading into the Mithril Mine when next we return to the podcast next week. We will go through the mine. We will go into some new towns. There's a couple of side missions you can do at this point if you want to. I will help you off stream with or off podcast with how to do those things. But yeah, the world's getting bigger. Things are getting darker. There's much journey ahead.
Yeah.
No more stair climbing, I don't think, that I can recall.
Okay, that's probably a good thing, yeah. I think.
Yeah. I think we're done good with stairs.
I
was pretty good at it.
You know, we've climbed enough stairs, I think, for one game.
Yeah. Great. Any final thoughts about the game up to this point?
I still think that my overall review, just like it was last week, is like, I think I'm enjoying it. I think I'm still kind of at that point. I think it's improving slightly as I am. Like, you know, I've said this a lot, but like, I'm not good at video games. Like my instincts are not like helping me in almost any way with this game. I suspect that some of that will probably change as I continue to play through it. I don't know. It's very possible that it won't, but that is probably like the number one thing that's holding me back. And so on top of like, I don't have a ton of time to play it. It's like when so much of that time gets like totally wasted doing things incorrectly and then I die. So it's all gone. It's tough to like recover.
There is a learning curve for sure. There's definitely a learning curve, but as you go along, more and more things will start to make sense to you, and I think you'll start to have better instincts about what might help you along the way. And anytime if you're like really stuck, obviously you can always reach out to me and I will help point you in the right direction. But this is part of the learning curve too, is just going through the pains of, oh, I don't have any ranged attacks on this ranged attack fight. Cool. Mm-hmm. Great. This is good for me. This is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. That's part of the experience.
Yes. did it have to be? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But it was. So here we are.
And now you know, and you're figuring out materia and you know to make sure your characters are always equipped. in Final Fantasy VI, I continued to have the problem of I would unequip. You can change party members so frequently, and there's so many of them. And I would unequip things from everybody because they had a whole pool of equipment that they shared. And then I'd put people back in my party and regularly forget to equip them with anything. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, how come my character can't use their special skill? Oh, because they don't have a sword at all? Okay, cool. Great, great, great. And that's coming from me. And I've now been playing these games for a year and a half constantly. And I still make that sort of mistake. So don't feel bad. These things happen.
So the road ahead is not necessarily bright. Okay.
I'm just saying you are not alone in your struggles. But if I can make it through, you can make it through.
Yes, we certainly can. And I, the one thing I will say, I am finding the story more interesting with this past section than the section mm-hmm. before. Yeah. It's like more stuff to figure out. The Ancients is like becoming somewhat interesting to me at this point. Whereas before I was like, I don't really care about your flower. Now it's like the fate of the world is on the line somehow.
Yeah.
And something tells me that Pia is going to be responsible for a good portion of the fate of the world. So we'll see.
The stakes have been raised. Things are happening.
Chocobos have been caught. Yeah.
Chocobos have been caught and released. Yes.
Where does that chocobo go? It's dead, right? The chocobo's gotta be dead.
Depending on where you let them go, I've let them go like at the edge of continents, and it literally looks like they run off into the ocean.
I mean, it feels like
it doesn't look great.
Like the chocobo should just stay. Like I have more greens. Can I just keep giving it?
I know. Yeah. Okay. No, chocobos not the smartest. Not the smartest animals for sure. But that's gonna do it for us today. Adam, anything else you want to share with the listeners about what you got going on?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at PianoManAdam1. Feel free to tweet at me all of your Final Fantasy VII takes. I would love to hear them all.
No spoilers.
None of those takes, but if you want to commiserate with how poorly I'm playing the game, please do that. Either on Twitter or, of course, on the Post Show Recaps Discord. And the other place you can find me is every single week over at One Indescribable Podcast with Todd and Lindy, where we're talking through the hit CW show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. We are nearing the end of season 3 over there, so come check us out. OneCXGPodcast on Twitter.
Sweet. And you can find me at Hard Rock Hope anywhere I exist on the internet, including twitch.tv/HardRockHope, where I am currently playing through the Final Fantasy VII Remake, as well as Persona 5 Royal, sometimes other things. Come hang out. Other than that, we will catch you all. Oh, I'm also doing, I think Harry Potter's coming back this week. technically, I'm still podcasting about Harry Potter 6 months into the year with Kevin and Melissa over on YA. That is a patrons-only podcast, but you can get access to that at any level of patronage with Post Show Recaps. Keep an eye on that feed for our Deathly Hallows coverage, which after a move across the country and wedding break, will be resuming very soon. Otherwise, you know where to find us. Chat with us about Final Fantasy VII, and we will see you all next time. Take care. Bye-bye.